Hello, welcome to Waldman's Words. This one's going to be a wacky one. We could tell from the pre-show. We've got Alex Arias, who is an incredibly talented producer, engineer, mixer slash fluffer that I've been a fan of for quite some time. And Ross Roby and I actually manage him. Over the next few weeks, we have some more behind the scenes people. We've got Patrick Walford, who has himself another Adobe show, and that's going to be next week. The following week, we've got JJR, who used to tour with the Wonder Years and currently manages 4 Years Strong and Set It Off. So 2008 is going to kill it on this show. We've got Daniel Rubin, who works for a big time management company that manages 21 Pilots, Against the Current, and he actually manages Eye the Mighty, Too Close to Touch, and a really talented producer named Eric Ron, who's just recently produced Too Close to Touch, Issues. He used to work for John Feldman. And then the following week, we've got Megan Thompson, who works for Hopeless Records and does a lot of digital work. So that's pretty sweet. We just got coverage for the band Floods, who used to be called Mirror Eyes, in Rock Sound magazine. And obviously, with the recent name change, it wasn't the easiest thing for them to transition with the new name, but it's still amazing that such a magazine covered the band, and that's a world distribution. Candy Hearts, like I've told you many times, has so many sick stuff behind the scenes. And actually, last night, I got some really good news that I can't wait to report once it goes to fruition. Film Speed is up to so much with their new EP that should be out hopefully spring, summer. And Boomtown Crooks are going on a tour, actually a two-country tour. They're driving up to Canada. And the singer, Zach James, is actually from Canada, so he's going to reunite with his family and drink a hell of a lot of Labatt Blue. So I really hope you enjoy this show. Alex is definitely someone who is literally near and dear to me. I hope that I can one day grow a beard like him. I hope that I can. I was told that perseverance really means the world. I mean, we were just talking about pornography and audio engineering, so this is going to be one for the books. So, as always, thank you all for listening. My mom is so proud of me. Every Tuesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern time. I'm also hoping that this show actually records and makes it to the air. That would be a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's really hot in NoHo, and I never know what to do. I wear a hoodie, and it's hot. I wear a t-shirt, and it's cold. So, this is an omen. Stick around. Alex Arias is going to change your ears and life. All right. Welcome to Waldman's Words with Alex Arias, who told me over this commercial break that that was pretty good 3-minute intro. So thank you.
Very good.
So, Alex, tell everyone about yourself and how did we meet?
We met. Well, first off, I'm a producer and engineer and songwriter from here in NoHo, Los Angeles. And I just do my thing around here. That's what I do.
You're sounding like a rapper. I'm just doing my thing.
Yo, what up? Check 1, 2.
Know what I'm saying?
And you and I met years ago when I got a call from a friend with a studio and was like, hey, we have a band coming in, and would you like to record them? And then I ended up hearing your stuff, and I said, yes, I want to record them. And then I went and recorded you, and then somehow – you were one of the strange cases because I never meet people and then Facebook friend them. Or I don't know. It's somehow we became friends on Facebook or something like that.
I guarantee you I added you.
Okay.
I really wanted to.
I usually never fucking do that. I'm just always like, whatever. I'm not saying anything bad about you. You know, that was nice.
Well, I appreciate you approving me. I think you ghosted it for a while. Like, I think I got approval like 7 years later. But, you know, it's awesome because you did approve me ultimately.
But then the whole time we've been Facebook friends, how long ago was it? A few months back. And I just kind of got back in touch. And
you saw that I was managing producers and you were like, oh, I could be lecherous with this guy right now.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
No, it was cool. My band Lido Beach recorded a few songs with Alex, and he was a very talented guy. And since then, we've been Facebook friends, and you're not one of the people that I unfollowed. So when I see little things that happen, I was like, oh, he's up to some stuff. And then I talked to my partner, Ross, and I said, this guy is looking for representation. Let's talk to him. Let's feel it out. And Now you're on Waldman's Words. Like,
that is big.
This is the pinnacle. Like, share Waldman's Words. Like, I don't know which will impress your half-Jewish grandma more. You know, it's
kind of
crazy.
Yeah. There's this Fox News show, not that I watch it, called Waters World.
Waters? What, isn't there Westworld on HBO?
It's that. There's that, but that one reminds – the name is so similar to yours. The content is completely
Waters
different.
World and Waldman.
It's the fucking worst show ever. Basically like here's this guy and he goes and pins like college students into like questions they can't answer and then just shows his Republican audience how stupid the left is. And
sounds like a great show.
It's fucking sickening.
What's crazy is every time I watch Trump on television, I'm convinced that he's proving how stupid the right is.
I could go on because I have my parents are both staunch Trumpkins.
Really?
Big time. And to the point where I was like, it makes me fucking die.
You can curse.
Yeah. I remember when he won, I would see my mom and she would dance every time you say his name, which is fucking.
Is that because he gave her like some STD?
I don't know what he slipped her. Maybe they found each other at the glory hole.
Wow. I mean, that's how my parents met, as I told you over the break.
At a glory hole.
Yeah.
Is that a real thing?
Ask Fish. Fish would know this better than any of us. You know, there are glory holes, actually. If you're ever in a touring band, like in these random spots in Missouri and random spots, there's legit glory holes. Like truckers are on the road for days and weeks at a time, and this is where they get their rocks off, you know?
It is just bizarre. Like, wow. I mean, it just takes a kind of dude, you know?
It takes a kind of dude with standards, man. I mean, think about it. Grindr took off because they're like, okay, what should we do? Who is horny? Men, gay or straight.
Well, they just were like this. There's Tinder for them. They had to do this. Okay, we'll do the ding. Boom.
Do the ding.
We'll do the ding. Good for them, though.
No, it worked out. I mean, many a one-night stand has taken off because of it. All right. Let's focus. Let's get back. So we met through Lido Beach, and you grew up in the 818.
Yes.
What was that like? Because my very first show that I ever played as a musician was at the Cobalt Cafe.
I know that place very well.
Sweet Canoga Park.
Yeah.
Speaking of porn. All right, continue.
Yeah, exactly. 818 was great. It was cool. I went from Woodland Hills, so it was like super West Valley, and then moved to Calabasas, which was
even further.
Yeah, even further. But that was a great place because I didn't have the kind of the shit of the city, I guess of the like kind of hustle and bustle. But then I could, you know, go outside my house and there's a fucking hiking trail right out, you know, side. And, mm-hmm. and we would definitely smoke a lot of pot, listen to Grateful Dead and Neil Young in the mountains and go camping. And it all just kind of like complemented – that lifestyle complemented where we lived. And that whole, you know, helped me fail school. And
good shit.
It was cool though. Yeah, yeah, but the vibe was nice. I feel like it was a good perch in L.A.
Did you – grow up with the Incubus guys? I think that they're from Calabasas.
We had occurrences where we met them. So I had a buddy of mine who lived across a street from where they used to practice.
Oh, cool.
So we would go and ride back bikes when we were in middle school and shit, and they would be in their garage practicing. And
was this when they were big or was this when they were starting?
This is just before they broke.
Okay, wow.
So like we got that kind of super early on phase. And it must have been like Family Values Tour era, mm-hmm. you know, or maybe just before that.
Science times, probably.
Yeah, yeah, because my first time hearing about them was the Family Values Tour, which was like, do you remember that, what that was?
Dude, come on.
Yeah,
okay. The family, I'm going to, Fish, do you know about that, Family Values Tour? Okay, so it was the first one was Korn, Limp Bizkit, Ice Cube, Rammstein,
yeah.
and Orgy. Yes. That was the very first one. And then it actually took off to I know that Limp Bizkit was kind of the figurehead for it, but I think that like Cold would play it and yep. Stone Temple Pilots would play it.
And then Incubus got on
yeah.
at some point. And that's when I first – because I didn't – they used to be these cool older guys. Mm-hmm. But we didn't know like what their band was. Or, I mean I didn't. Didn't know what their band was and anything like that. They were just the cool older guys. And they would come by and give us stickers every now and then. And,
oh, that's rad.
Yeah. It was cool.
I heard that I think Linkin Park, are they from Agora?
I think some of them went to El Camino.
Okay, and that's the Woodland Hills one, right?
I forget the street called, what it's called. But
Linkin Park.
Valley Circle. On El Camino. And then because my sister was their era. Okay. My sister went to El Camino. She's 5-7 years older and something like that. Yeah. And they all went there, and that was – I mean, there's a lot of cool alt stuff
like
from that
area. Hoobastank.
Hoobastank, absolutely. Yep.
They used to have, I think, a trumpet player.
I think they did.
Like, yeah.
I remember
– best band name ever, by the way.
Yeah, there's a best band name. And who did their stuff? Was that
– Jim Wirt did one of their records,
and
I
Howard
think.
Benson?
Howard Benson is Calabasas, I know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, he did The Reason.
Okay, got – I mean
– if you're ever in a Ralph's.
That's my reason.
I mean, that is – The Reason is Jew.
The Reason is Jew.
Yeah, no, The Reason is an undeniable hit, which – helped and hurt Hoobastank because they were like total alt rock, and then they became Mom Jeans band.
Are they still Mom Jeans?
They're mom rock.
Mom rock. Okay. They're three car garage rock.
Three doors down rock.
Oh yeah, soccer mom rock. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. So the 818. Were there any other bands that like? Did you perform? Like, how did you get your start behind the boards?
So like I was saying, I failed all of school. I failed from like kindergarten till high school.
Wait, it takes effort to fail nap time, dude. Like, how did you fail kindergarten?
There was just, I found a way. Found a way. I hated school. And I hated, yeah. So, like, just that's my school career, is always failing and all this shit somehow. But I was a nice guy. I think I was my teachers liked me.
Okay.
And then.
Were you trying hard or you just didn't care? You were just.
I didn't try at all.
Okay.
Yeah. No trying involved. And
so, kids, if you want to be a successful producer, engineer, never try. this is a very, very advice-oriented show. As you see, number 6 on my outline.
I would draw, and I would go hiking and smoke pot and listen to records and shit. But, like, I think – so at some point when I was 14 or 15, my brother played guitar, and then he was really good at it, and I got a guitar as well. And just kept playing and playing, and I just loved it so much. And at some and throughout my whole life, I've been listening to records and shit. You know, like that alt '90s everything. You know, first record was Dookie I got, and then
dude,
like the Blue Album,
perfect.
And
'94 man,
'94 was the best.
It was a great one.
And just and like you know, I went through the whole phase. I had cousins who I thought were the coolest, and they loved all the cool bands, and I just kind of tried to be like them.
You know, Forrest Gump, Shawshank Redemption, and Pulp Fiction were all nominated for Best Picture that year, too. That's just best year.
That is fucking awesome.
That's pretty crazy. I know that you're a big La La Land fan, but you got to give it up to those.
I will give it up to everyone.
So, 94 the year. And Offspring.
Offspring.
Smash. Yeah,
Offspring.
That was a great year.
That's where I learned my road rage from.
Oh, yeah. Got a bad habit.
Got a bad habit. And so, like... I loved all that shit. And then after high school, like, I somehow passed. I mean, my parents were like, we know you're not going to pass, but we're going to go to the, you know, to the graduation just in case. And I did. And I finished high school, and then that summer I went to work for my dad. In the coal mines of Calabasas. He was an architect. And I just didn't know what I was going to do. And my mom came home one day and was like, hey, you should check out this audio engineering school.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, wow, that sounds fucking cool. Like, I want to be in a studio. And I had not really...
And you had no experience whatsoever at that time?
I recorded with no, like, I didn't have interest in microphones and gear, but I recorded leading up to that. You know, like, we would have...
With what device? Like
tape Tascams.
Oh wow!
You know,
old school
shit, and we'd make beats on random programs we found online, and just kind of like there was definitely a clear interest, but it didn't seem like a feasible thing. So I didn't even think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went into this school in North Hollywood. It was at the time. And I loved it. I fucking loved it. And I was like, oh, my God, I want to do this so bad. So, you know, sign me up, Mom. And then
Mom,
I'm going to go to school again.
Yeah.
And then I did really good at that school.
Well.
Yes. Because I tried. Because I fucking tried.
Good work, sir.
But yeah, it was amazing because we. So
what
that
was the
school,
name of the school?
Soundmasters.
Soundmasters, okay.
Yeah, which is not. I don't think it's. It's not as big as like the
MI or
MI or LA Recording School, but it's which is almost kind of better.
Listen, some people. I mean, every single woman I've ever been with told me bigger isn't always better. I'm just telling you.
That's the whole reason I went there, actually. Yeah. So, but it was cool though, because like there's. You know, in the bigger schools, you have so many people in a class. And what my situation was the best was they just moved to Alhambra. Mm-hmm. And there was only two people in my class, me and two other people, for a year. So I got to learn from all these great engineers basically one-on-one.
It's like you have a tutor.
Year. Yeah, exactly.
That's amazing.
And so that was a whole nine-month thing. I got out and I started working that weekend.
Did they give you connections to go forward?
They got me into a studio in Woodland Hills, and there was a guy who came in named Matt Serletic.
Matt Serletic is the godfather behind Matchbox 20.
That is true.
He is the guy. So for 90s fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he did the Matchbox stuff.
Rob Thomas solo stuff.
He did Cher. Well, that was post my entrance. So, but before I got there, he did the Matchbox stuff. He did Smooth, the Santana song, and then
Small Time.
He did Armageddon, that Aerosmith song.
Oh, I don't want to miss a thing.
And he wrote all the orchestration and arrangement and all that shit. And
he probably still gets royalties from that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like insane.
Although I have no idea, but he started when he was like 13, he was in Collective Soul. And
he was in Collective Soul?
Yeah, and he produced their stuff and like mixed it and mastered it just because he had to.
Is he still in the band?
No.
Because I think they're from Atlanta, right?
Yes, that's where he's from.
I really like Collective Soul. Sorry.
I do too. Great. I listen to their records, I'm just like, wow, what the? They just fucking did it. You know, they did it right. And it's awesome and it's minimal and just fucking cool. You know, they had it.
I love Collective Soul. So Matt Serletic. So was that hookup like straight after recording school?
Yeah, basically the house I worked on the summer before I went to sound school.
Oh, the architect house?
Yeah. So my dad's the architect. I worked there. I was fucking scrubbing grout out of the, you know.
Gotta start somewhere.
Just scrubbing grout. Just doing whatever. And so then that following year, I got to the studio. I got the hookup from my school. And I was like, cool, this studio needs a guy, scrub toilets, get coffee, blah, blah, blah. And Matt Serletic happened to be the client in the studio. So I was there and, you know, scrubbing toilets. For no
you really
reason.
Scrub toilets?
I would no, I didn't. I just say that.
Okay, but recording no, but school doesn't.
I cleaned bathrooms, but that's what you do. You get out there and you're a grunt. You know, you're not like you're not killing it, right? You know, I'm not going out there and fucking just like running the session, pushing Matt out of the way and trying to produce. But then what happened was the client's there and I'm just like, fuck, like I know that name, Matt Serletic, and I went up to him. I'm like, hey, dude, like my dad designed your house, and Matt just moved there, and Matt bought the house. So it was kind of this weird, this is how it fucking works. Like, it's just the classic thing always, where I got super, you know, lucky meeting him. And they gave me a job 2 weeks later. They just moved into a studio on Mulholland next to the Gelsons in Calabasas. And that was, like, right down the street from where I lived. And that started – I started as a coffee boy and then went up the ranks. And then I, you know, I left last year as the chief engineer and, you know –
Yep.
Did some producing work and some instrument stuff and
you were there for a while.
I was there for almost 10 years. Yeah, like 9 years.
What if your dad really fucked up the house? Then this probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I hope it would have fucking happened. Like your dad's a horrible architect, but you're really great.
you're really great at scrubbing toilets.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what were some of the great things you worked on there with Matt?
A lot of things. We made Joe Cocker's last two records, mm-hmm. Which was just a crazy experience because he is an icon and like a god in my book. He's got one of the most amazing voices. Mm-hmm. Just fucking pipes.
I'm a Beatles freak, but I like his cover more. I really do.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's a weird context thing. When I hear Sergeant Pepper's, I'm like, I like that version. You know, when I hear the full version, like the full record, and mm-hmm. then when I hear Joe's on its own, it's just, what would you do if I shame? Yeah. It's fucking great.
I don't really know this. Does he have a handicap? Like, what does he have?
I don't know. He has bug hands. It's just like a very expressive bodily compulsion. I don't know exactly what it is, but he passed away. He is, and yeah, so it was crazy. We're being the last, you know, guys to record him. You know,
that's incredible. He died in 2014. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, he was amazing. He loved Indian food, and I love that about him.
I love Indian food.
And just a really good guy, and cool musicians on that record. Got to work with Cher, and that's kind of an ongoing thing. We'll go record her every now and then.
Just so you guys know, Alex tracks Cher, and she is comfortable with him, and she's not comfortable with everyone. So that's cool, to me at least.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, she's great. She's honestly, like, as far as people who could be divas and not
cool.
She is
the diva of divas.
She has the right. She basically has the right to just write everyone off and just every, you know, and just be an asshole. And she's not.
All right, Aguilera, slow down.
Yeah. She's super cool. And just, yeah.
I always think of Groundhog Day when I think of Cher.
Why?
I got you, babe, over and over.
That's funny. That, like, I saw that as a kid, and it just, like, nothing stuck except for when the actual
Ned character. Ryerson. Sorry, I like that movie. I think that's like an early '90s movie. So, you worked in the studio with Matt, and I'm sure you learned a lot from him.
Yeah, I mean, he comes from the era where, you know, he started on tape. He started when music was still making money. So he has very, like, it takes a lot of work. He's very, like, I learned how to be a great worker and a very detail-oriented person off him, because nothing flew past his ear. You know, there was no room for like, oh, shit, let me go, you know. I don't know. He's just so on it, and it's just such a good guy to learn from. As far as, like, that was a fucking boot camp. You know, he comes from the old day where everything's very perfect. Where back in the old days, studios were, there's a perfection era element that nowadays you can get. It's a little more lax, I feel,
with
like.
Copy and paste and all that.
With copy and paste, and just like studios, you know, the whole studio industry not being as thriving as it was. I think the standards have gone down a little bit, which is.
Well, that's why so many people are self-producing now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of it. So, like, you know, I can go into a studio and there's equipment that doesn't work. And, like, in Matt's world, it's like, wait, what? Your equipment doesn't work? Why am I fucking, you know, like, get your shit together. Or, like, everything's just very – you just learn to kind of – to just do things right.
On that note, we're doing things right. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to talk about your personal experience recording, mixing, engineering. And I would love to hear some stories and advice. So stick around, enjoy these commercials. Alex Arias. I hope you enjoy those commercials. We are back with Alex Arias. So you left Matt, but I guess while you're working with Matt, I mean, that's how we met. You did a Lido Beach thing, but you're still working with Matt. So what did you do on your own?
I would produce and write, and just I'd stay active, you know. I had we were at first, for the first, I think, 6 years I was working with him, we had a really big, glorious Class A studio with a big Trident A-range board that's like, there's like 13 in the world.
Oh, wow.
Really cool, you know, David Bowie English board, just fucking awesome. Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean? What is David Bowie English?
Because like, that's like kind of you get that sound from it. It's just a like his era. It was from Trident Studios in the UK, and you know, there's like the bands that recorded on there, like the Supertramp and your Bowies and that whole era. It just reminds me. It's like
a classic rock board.
Yeah, okay. Just really cool. And like for audio nerds, you'll kind of, you know. Look it up.
There's some listening. People have told me that I've had a bunch of people behind the scenes recording, and They really enjoy their show for that. So cool, this is perfect for them. So you can geek out with language that I won't get.
Yeah.
But maybe they will.
So basically I had this whole awesome studio and no competition really of you know, studio time. So when everybody left, there was nobody there except me to get to use it. And it would just, you know, I'd record my own projects. At that point, I was writing songs in a band. And other artists, I would have them come in and record and just kind of get my chops up. I would always be active, although at that
trial point, by doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Just like, fuck it. Come in. Let's record. Okay. You got songs. Cool. Record. Let's do it. Like, you know, and let me do it for free because I'll get better, you know? But the free days are over.
Yes. No. I'm not. Listen, I can't get commission from nothing.
Yeah. This isn't a hobby. I hate it.
Yeah, so that's why he needs to get paid for it. If he really liked it, he would do it for free. That's what I say to everyone. So over break, I told Fish, you work with the Mowglis. Who else? Like, what did you do with them specifically? I know the answer to this question. I'm just asking it for the people who are listening.
That's funny that it's even like, you work with the Mowglis?
That's because a band that's very in tune with this station.
Okay,
that's
cool.
That's why I mentioned them.
Well, like, because I know, you know, they're doing things. I just... I've been friends with a lot of them. They all went to Calabasas high school, and we've just known each other forever. We've all been playing music together. And just at some point when I was in a band, the first founding members started a collective, a music collective, and it was called The Collective. Very unique.
There was a pizza place called Pizza.
And there were just a bunch of bands, including mine. And they started out and they were very like kind of freewheeling party hippie band.
Kind of like the Laurel Canyon days, I bet.
It wasn't that cool.
Okay.
It was cool, but it wasn't that cool.
So no Crosby?
There were no Crosbys. Okay. And so basically... we just all started playing music together. I was recording at that point, and you know, they started doing things, and every now and then I'd be like, "Cool, come, you know, I've got this song that this was early days. I got a song, like, come and write the verse on it." Like, okay, cool. And then I wrote the bulk of the song called "Gambler's Hall," and that was like their first verse record. And then and we just always jammed, and I recorded them, and just known them forever. So like, I think the way things worked out is just. I was around and I got some opportunities to write with them and
well, it was like on a homie basis.
Homies.
Again, I'll just reiterate the reason I brought them up because this station is a huge alternative station.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the bands that they champion, I would argue like probably one of the top 10 bands they champion is a band called The Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And The Maine is going on tour with the Mowglis.
Oh, yeah.
So that's
yes.
why.
Yes, gotcha.
So you kind of speak the language of it here.
I love that. We get to plug it.
No, it's awesome.
I love it.
It's two for the price of one. So who else that I may not have mentioned?
God, there is an artist called MRK, and I think you can. It's three letters, so it's I guess hard to find. But you can find her. I think her YouTube is MRK Loves You, I believe.
Nice.
And she was actually in a band in the collective that we were in back in the day, and their band broke up. And I was like, oh, my God, this is, like, the most talented lady I've ever seen. I'm going to go approach her and see if she'd want to, like, produce some tracks together. And I did. And over the next few years, we were just experimenting and kind of getting things together. And
so she said yes.
She said yes. We just ended up making some of the coolest fucking music that I've ever made. It's one of my, like, favorite projects of all.
Mm-hmm.
As far as producing and being a musician goes, just because it's alt, it's dark, it's poppy,
mm-hmm.
and I love all those things. But not like it's weird when you say dark in music because I think it immediately leans
people
to like
think like Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, not like that. It's dark in the sense of like, I don't know. I guess it's just a little left of center. And just cool, fun, crazy music. She's got a bitchin' voice, just mega talented. And so we did a like an EP together over all that time. That's some of my favorite music, and now we're working on her her next record.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So
it's cool. I mean, it's nice to hear you're not phoning it in, and you're really passionate about it.
Oh yeah. I mean, if I'm going to work on something, I'm going to do it all. You know, I don't want my name on some flimsy piece of paper.
That's why there's some. I think his name is Sean O'Keefe. He produced "Take This to Your Grave" by Fall Out Boy, which is the record that all their fans like more than mm-hmm. anything. And then he, I believe, produced Hawthorne Heights, The Silence in Black and White, which is the one with "Ohio is for Lovers," like that. "My heart is in Ohio," mm-hmm. and like all those songs. And I think he was so ashamed of it that he didn't put his name on it.
That will happen.
Yep. That would suck. Well, if someone said that they were on an Adobe show and didn't give me a shout out, I'd be so upset.
Speaking of The Maine and Hawthorne Heights, I recorded one or both of those bands.
Well, both of them were Benson.
Oh, yeah, but this was like this was when I, this was like 2007 or 2008. I got a call from someone because I knew how to use this David Bowie Trident board. And right. there was another one in town at a studio called New Monkey Studio.
It's like some people, barbers, you have to be a barber if you can shave someone's face, but not every stylist.
Well, it's like a Maserati dealer, you know, like repair guy.
Oh,
you know, it's
yeah.
very specialized work. And
I like that you said the highest end car possible.
It's
like
it
a Pinto repair guy. It's like, you know, it's different.
I was the Valley Pinto repair
Dope.
Engineer. And there was a website, I believe is now Stereo Gum, called Buzznet.
Yep.
Do you remember that? And they would
Buzznet was huge.
So like I got to record. I just don't remember because it wasn't my type of, you know, my cup of tea at the time. But it was, I know there's Hawthorne Heights and The Maine. One or two of those bands but also like I got to record All American Rejects.
That's amazing.
And just plenty of other cool bands. I would just get paid, like come down and
use this board.
Yeah, it's kind of basically what they do here. And mm-hmm. they would film it, but they didn't have so the impetus was me knowing the board, but this project at Buzznet, they didn't have the board. This was just, I just met the guy through the board, and mm-hmm. then he shipped me off to Buzznet.
Buzznet was right by Amoeba Records.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Right on Sunset.
Where that CNN building is, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah,
yeah,
right
I
next
remember.
Door. Exactly. Exactly.
That's pretty cool. Well, we have a little bit of time left, so I just hit myself. Are there any stories you'd like to tell? Like, I've
got some funny stories.
Yay!
Yeah, I've got some funny stories.
Some people are ashamed. You don't have to say names.
No, I'm going to fucking name them.
No, name them. Good.
I'm going to fucking name them.
Good.
There was a time where Meat Loaf, the artist, not the dinner.
Not Stouffer's.
Yeah, exactly. He rented out the studio because we would, you know, the studio we worked at was not really commercial studio. It was private. But then sometimes we would be between records.
So Matt's studio.
Matt's studio. Okay. Yeah. And
does he still have the same studio?
He moved to another place in Calabasas.
Okay.
So Meat Loaf came in. And it was just a trip. Like, what a fucking bizarre dude. But there was one day where it happened to be my birthday. And so we're doing background vocals that day. So the way Meat, we call him Meat. The way Meat does it.
You're on a first name basis with the Loaf. That's awesome.
So
with Lady Gaga, I'm like, what's up, lady?
What's up, Gog? I'm, you know, somehow word got out that it was my birthday. I don't know if it was the, you know, administration
Meatloaf,
lady.
Meatloaf knows all.
Meatloaf knew it was my birthday. He saw the twinkle in my eye. And so we had background singers there. And the way he does backgrounds is...
Like gospel-y singers background?
There was three guys and three girls. So just a crew of them.
Do they do the dancing?
No dance. That doesn't pick up on microphone. But so basically there's a crew. And like, because usually nowadays in pop world, you can do one singer at a time and just stack the parts. But for Meatloaf's world, it's... You have all six background singers singing, and just you stack that rather than kind of one at a time.
Right.
And I'm passing by the kitchen area, walking into the control room, and you know everybody's in the kitchen. I kind of just walk by, and then Meat comes out, and he's like, "Alex, come here."
He knew your name.
Oh yeah,
that's so cool.
So so he brings me in, he sits me down at the head of the dinner table, and you have all the background singers around, and he's sitting right next to me. And he's like, all right, everybody. And
does he have a Southern accent? Is he like?
No. He's got a meaty accent. But then what proceeded to happen was Meatloaf and six background singers sang me happy birthday right fucking there. Meatloaf's in my face. He's like, oh, baby.
I would do anything yeah. for love.
And so, and that was definitely a fucking trip. Just like Meatloaf is singing me happy birthday this year. Like, my mom's going to fucking die.
This is probably the first time Meatloaf was brought up on air at Adobe, but I just got to tell you something. Dude's a legend. Paradise by the Dashboard Light. I love It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
He's a legend. I love him.
And you know that he has one of the top selling albums of all time, Bad Out of the Hell? Yeah. I think it's in the top 30
yeah.
or top 20.
Yeah, totally. It's insane. That and like Back in Black.
Back in Black is AC/DC.
Yeah. Fucking amazing record. Amazing.
I'm gonna play devil's advocate here. I don't like AC/DC. I don't like this vocal. I really don't, but
I had a point in my career / just going to school where I learned to, and this is a big thing now, I just follow by, is like when I listen to music, I only listen for the good things.
That's very, very optimistic and nice.
Yeah. So like it's, I mean, because that was my shit is back, you know, when I was in school, I would hear, I like didn't like the sound of Pink Floyd when I was 18 or whatever. And my teacher loved them and he was freaking out about he would just geek out about Dark Side of the Moon and we'd watch a documentary on it. And then we'd sit and listen to the whole record one day at school. And you sit there and you're just like, wow, that fucking blew my mind. And I hated them for some reason. And then I started listening to other music that I was just like, typically wouldn't like, but I'd be like, wow, that is a fucking great record. And like, how do they do
it's
that?
Well done.
It's well done. Okay. And then like, and that's, I just started listening for the good. And now,
well,
like,
that's how I do with Taylor Swift. I don't enjoy it, but those are well crafted songs. They're kind of, well. They sound, you know, assembly line factory. Even.
Max Martin helped out.
Max Martin, yeah, holy cow. Him, Dr. Luke, I know people love him now. But all those people, just they, I think Max Martin and Dr. Luke have like more hits than the Beatles.
Max Martin is definitely a harder hitter.
He's Backstreet Boys and NSYNC too,
he's
right?
He's Ace of Base. He's Backstreet Boys. He NSYNC and then fell off the map for a second and then came back with Since You've Been Gone, I think, Kelly Clarkson, and then just has not stopped just murdering. I think the most successful songwriters of all time are Lennon McCartney and then Max Martin.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fucking crazy.
Well, if you have any advice for the people who want to be just like you, I can already tell you that one of them is no job is too small when you're starting out, but...
Yeah, for sure. Learn, I mean... Few things is just pay attention and do your best work at all time because it always shows. You never know who has the next gig in his back pocket,
especially in LA.
Yeah, and you never know, you know, years down the line that yeah, you worked with some guy and it never happened, but you might get a call because, you know, someone fell out of, you know, someone is sick or some shit, and just wow, what about that one guy that we met, you know, and that could spawn a whole leg or your whole career, you know. And like, I think a lot of people ask about, cause on the engineering producing side, it's like, is school a good thing? Because, you know, cause you don't have to go to school, you know, to do stuff. You just have to work. And I went to school and I think what you'd get out of going to school for producing and engineering is you learn how to learn because I didn't know shit coming out of it. And if you do that, just expect that. I knew how to pick up on things like super fast because of that. And just, yeah, just always do your best work. Don't – another last thing. Sorry, I'm going on about advice.
No, dude. We have 5 minutes. You could talk for 5 minutes straight. I might interrupt you every now and again.
Okay. If you're writing songs and you're producing, don't try and produce hits. Don't try and get on the radio. Do your best work, and that's what you need to do. Do your best shit, and that's it. Don't worry about, you know, if you're going for Adele's sound, then you're already too late. You know,
it's true.
You're already way behind.
Everyone always tried to sign the next Nirvana, and it's like that moment passed.
Exactly.
Has there been a next Nirvana? No.
No, it's insane. And it's like if you want that sound, and it's been on the radio for 3 months, you're out. You're toast.
Because it took so long for that sound to get to the radio.
Yeah,
so
and it's now like, it's tired. You know? Yeah. Yeah, so just...
That's why Madonna always reinvents herself.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah. Do your best work. That's it. Just do your best.
That's awesome. Because the beginning of the show is do not try hard. And now we're ending with such a more positive note. So
yeah. Well, yeah. Try hard for the things you love.
Okay.
Definitely.
And you actually, all kidding aside, you really love what you do.
I love it. I love it. I get to wake up every morning and make music. That's just an awesome blessing. And I want to do it more and more and meet more bands and make more great stuff with
cool
people.
Stop putting pressure on me, okay? I'm
yeah,
trying.
Yeah, Scott,
hard.
Get
Ross,
on
Ross.
It. Why aren't you on the fucking phone?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know, that's the best thing, music. That's driven me forever, you know? I failed high school, and now I make
music.
No,
you graduated, but you didn't do well.
Yes, exactly. I don't know, like, who, you know, what strings my parents were pulling, but I made it.
You ever see Forrest Gump? You know that Forrest's mom boned the teacher.
I was thinking about, like, maybe the principal found my mom in a glory hole somewhere.
Oh, we're going back to that. Back to that.
Back in black.
Hey, yo.
Back to that.
Wow.
Glory hole.
Back to red?
We'll bookend this podcast with a glory hole.
Well, speaking of glory holes, let's talk about your socials. So,
social media.
Yeah, give the kids listening ways to scope you out, I guess contact you. You're pretty social media friendly, so go for it.
Yeah, my Instagram is alex.arias.music, which my last name is Arias, A-R-I-A-S. Mm-hmm. And you can see the weird, you know, shit I'm up to, studios I visit and all the people I'm working with.
Food you eat, people you meet.
I don't do food. I just, you know, just music, baby.
Nice.
I love eating, though, but yeah, keep that aside. Do I have any other socials?
Well, I just know about Sound and Patterns, but just your Twitter, your website, anything you want to talk.
I don't remember my Twitter. My website is soundinpatterns.com.
Yep.
Sound in Patterns, yeah.
Is that a nod to your school that you went to?
No, it's not. I have friends who are in a band called Random Patterns back in the day. When I tell them my email, they're like, oh, where'd you get that from? I'm like, I don't know. Sound in Patterns, it sounded cool. Like, I like that.
Screw you.
Yeah.
Well, the next few weeks, like I started, we're going to bookend with Glory Holes and these guests. The next few weeks, we've got Patrick Walford from Idobe on the show. So it's the first Idobe to Idobe interview. We've got JJR, who, like I said, manages Set Your Goals and 4 Years Strong. Daniel Rubin, incredible manager, manages Eric Ron, the producer, and the bands I the Mighty, Too Close to Touch. And we got Megan Thompson, who does so much behind the scenes for Hopeless Records. So the next few weeks are pretty exciting. We're actually booked out until June. Thank you very much, Alex. He's taking a picture. He took out his cell phone.
Hey.
Yo, the back of your phone is dirt McGirt, dude.
No, it's not dirty. It's just, it's like the cheapest. Yeah. We'll get into that later. I failed phone coverings.
No, it's okay. You don't learn that in recording school. So again, I mean, despite you interrupting my thank you very much for
you're welcome.
For doing the show. I'm going to be actually seeing you tonight. We're going out to a rock and roll show. So life is really good. Do you have anything else you want to close this out with?
No, but thanks for listening. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope I'm not a boring podcaster.
I don't think you are.
Good.
I mean, I'm telling you, like, he is not hard to read because he smiles or just looks dead. And he smiled a few times.
Hey.
So
that's a good sign. That's a good sign.
So there you go. Stick around for Waldman's Words every Tuesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern. Fist pound.
Pound.
Have a great night.